All right. Well, text this morning, we just have one verse, Proverbs 16, verse number 3. I was telling Bill a little bit earlier, I said, I am guilty of kind of having a theme and then going and finding a verse to kind of fit it. But as I dug in this, boy, it's pretty good. There's some really good stuff in here. But we're just going to take this one verse. I was trying to find a good verse about starting off the new year and, you know, resolutions and things like that. And that's, this was the best one I found. As I dug into it, I really enjoyed this study. But I want to speak this morning on the subject of a new start in a new year, a new start in a new year. And I want to be practical as we kind of get into this after we examine this verse. So Proverbs 16, verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This verse comes from, I think, the most practical book in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is full of practical wisdom and advice. King Solomon was, of course, the wisest man who ever lived. I was reading yesterday, putting this together, how when he became king, after he became king, he went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And God did something very remarkable. God looked at him and said, ask what I shall give thee. He basically said, yeah, you can have whatever you want. You ever think about what would happen if you found that magic lamp and you rubbed it and the genie popped out and sang his little dance like on Aladdin? And no, but you ever thought about, boy, if I had those three wishes, what would I do? If I had one wish, what would I do? And here's God basically doing that with Solomon. What do you, now the reason why God's asking him is God already knows what he's going to ask. God's not foolish. But God looks at him and says, Solomon, what do you want? He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for fame. He could have asked for a long life. Could have asked for a powerful kingdom. But the one request he made was for wisdom to be a better ruler. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. So this was Solomon's response. Says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, but I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? What did he ask for? He asked for the ability to be a better ruler, to fulfill the task that God had laid out to him. Now, I'm going to say, I don't think Solomon was a moron by any stretch before this, okay? I don't think he had like a, you know, room temperature IQ before God blessed him, okay? His father, if you just go by genes in this, his father was a genius. David was a genius. His poetry, the music that he did. He's a great warrior. He's also a great administrator. You study out David. He is a genius if you look at everything that he did. And by the way, I was looking at this. I pulled out my Reese's Chronological Bible, and according to them, at least, and there may be some different opinions on this, but Solomon's probably already wrote a book of the Bible at this point. Song of Solomon, they think, was written after he first got married, which is actually a couple years before this. So, and by the way, I mean, you don't talk about a deep book, Song of Solomon. It took a genius to write that. I won't discount the hand of God, but it took a genius to write that poetry. I think that one of the marks that someone has very high intelligence is not that they know so much, but rather that they admit that they know so little. and that was Solomon. God answered his prayer, gave him even greater wisdom to an already gifted man. The practical truths that he put together, they were collected in this book, the book of Proverbs. And these things are without peer. You can take all your great philosophers, go back to those old Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, all these people that are still quoted and read today, but all of those are pale imitations of the truth and the practicality of Solomon's Proverbs that we have here. I think the book of Psalms tunes our hearts, but the book of Proverbs guides our feet. By the way, I've yet to find a single statement in this book that is untrue. Now, all that's introductory. I just want to realize the importance of this text. This is truth in action. This is the way the wise are supposed to live. This is the way I believe a Christian ought to live. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. As with most Hebrew poetry, you have two parts, a part A, a part B here. By taking both halves, you examine their individual truths, but also as you put them together, how they relate to each other, you find even greater truths. The truth is magnified. The relationship here, I believe, it's called either synthetic or constructive. The second half supplements or completes what is said in the first half. The first half, we're told to commit our works to the Lord. The word there, commit, literally, I love this, it means to roll. It means to roll. I love that image because here's something too heavy for us to carry. We can't do it on our own, so all we can do is just roll it and push it to the God who can handle all things. I remember I was thinking back when I was a little boy and hauling hay and stuff. When I was little, I'd get those bales of hay. They were too heavy for me. But you know what my job was? To go in front of everybody and roll the two rows together. That was my job. And I was pretty good at it, I felt like. But I'd go roll those bales so they could. It was easier for them to pick up. And it's faster. Anybody ever had that job before, rolling the bales together? Or they just do that to get me out of the way? I don't know. But that was my job. So what is it that we're rolling over to God that so He can handle? Well, it's our works. This is nothing to do with salvation. We're not talking about salvation here, salvation by works. There's no way work can get you into heaven. Your works cannot get you there. But every Christian is to be busy at work for Christ. Ephesians 2, verse number 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." He made us for good works, to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I think that's the idea here, that God has given us something to do, but we can't do it in our own power, so we roll it over to Him. That's the first half. The second half says that the result of rolling our works over to the Lord is that our thoughts will be established. The word there for thoughts, it's not just the crazy, imagine sometimes your ADD brain, you get weird thoughts, you don't know where they come from, things happen. But this word here means, it's more like a plan, a device, purpose, imagination. This is something you've been thinking about. The word cunning, also, this word can be translated. This is talking about somebody who plans. These are the things we desire and we plan and we work for. That's what this is talking about. You ever get an idea and you mull it over in your brain, like, how can I make this work? How could I afford this? How can I get that job? How can I fix this problem? That's what this is talking about. It's not just wanting a new car. It's going out, getting online, finding the best deal, reading all the reviews, getting on Kelly Blue Book, and reading all the things and trying to figure out, for my money, this is the best deal on the best car to fit my needs. It's all that planning that goes into something. By the way, I was thinking about it, talking about buying new cars. I figured there's only two brands that any of us can afford. Matchbox and Hot Wheels. I think those are the only two. But this is what's meant by thoughts here. This is, there's something on our heart and we're wanting to do, we're planning on doing it. That's kind of the idea here. So what happens to these thoughts? Well, they're established. That is, they're prepared, ready, set, or fixed. They come to fruition. We might say that our plans work out and our desires come true. Now, what's interesting to me is that I think there's something kind of circular in this verse, because the works in the first half that we're rolling over and letting God handle because we're not strong enough to see them through, we turn them over to God. Where do those come from? Well, they're born out of the thoughts in the second part of the verse. These are things that we've planned, that we want to do, but it's a great undertaking. We can't do it all, so we roll it over and give it to God. The works do not create the thoughts. It's vice versa. It's the other way around. When we allow God to shoulder the burden of our work, He in turn blesses the thoughts behind it and sees them come to fruition. That's in a nutshell, that's what this verse is saying. As I was reading this, can I tell you what this makes me want to do? It makes me want to keep dreaming even bigger so I can step back and just see what God is going to do. I know He can do it all, but where does it all come from here? What's the limitation? Limitation here really is not God's power, because we're giving all the Him the opportunity to do the work. We're saying, God, in Your strength and Your wisdom, do this. But it comes back to, what do we want to do? What is this plan that we have? What are we working towards? Can I tell you, I want in on this deal. And by the way, this is not the first time this truth is found. Solomon's father David says basically the same thing over in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That's kind of like the second part of this verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's basically the first part of the verse. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Even Rosie is amen in that. Now, how does all this apply to us today? I'm going to boil it down for you. God blesses the heart that wants to do right and the hands that let Him do the work. God blesses the heart that wants to do right and the hands that let Him do the work. We need the right desires and the plans in our hearts and minds. We need to get busy acting on those desires while trusting in God to do the work. It's kind of like think of farming here. You know, a farmer can only do so much. They can plow the ground, they can plant the seed, but you know what? There's a certain amount of that that is out of their control. God has to make that seed grow. There's a certain part. You do what you can, and God handles the rest. That's kind of what we're talking about here. What better time is there to do these things, to start making plans, to start setting some goals, to get busy? What better time is there than now? But you know, there may be a better time. Think about this. Thursday, we turn another page on the calendar. We begin a new year. I know all the dates are arbitrary. I've heard my rants about the ancient calendars. It's crazy. They don't match. New Year's Day was all kinds of all over the places in every culture. It's a weird thing. It's so weird. We think the first day of the month, the first day of the year was New Year's. It wasn't for a long time. It's bizarre, okay? I'm mind blown. Y'all can look all that stuff up, okay? I've talked about it before, but it's crazy. But you think about it here, you say, well, start now. I'm going to tell you something. What I want to talk to you about, I'm going to give you a few days to prepare. Think about it. Pray about it. What can we do? Where can we make a fresh start this coming new year? I ask, do you desire to be a better Christian this coming year? With that, do you want to be a better spouse, a better parent? Do you want to improve yourself this coming year? Do you have plans to see that happen? Most importantly in this, and I think this is where we fail so often in our resolutions and things, is, are we going to let God take control? Or are we going to let him have a piece of this? I want to challenge myself and everyone here to set it in your heart, make it your desire to grow in Christ in the coming year. It's very important that we do so in God's power. Like I say, if it's up to us, we won't make it a week. How many of y'all make the deal? I'm going to work out. I'm going to lose weight. And then by Groundhog Day, that's long forgotten. You know, that's the next major holiday there, so, you know, Groundhog Day. But y'all don't celebrate Groundhog Day, February 2nd. Okay. I'm the only one. Actually, y'all know that there's an armadillo down. Bee Cave Bob. Y'all know that? We actually have Texas has an armadillo, and we don't do the groundhog. Y'all didn't know that? Okay. I see. I've got to educate y'all some more on some stuff. Where did that all come from? When I was talking about weird thoughts popping in your mind, that's it right there. There's weird things popping in your mind. But we need to let God do the work. It's important that we do so in God's power. If it's up to us, like I said, we won't make it a week. Let's get in on what Solomon was talking about here. Let's get in our hearts a resolve to press forward. Let's put those plans into action. Let's rely on God to see it through. And then let us praise him for the victories that he gives. Now, I want to talk about a few things, and none of this is earth-shattering. None of it is overly profound. I want to be practical. I want to be simple. Because I just, that sometimes you got to take things down to the basics. And so I want to offer a few suggestions for you this morning. The first resolution I would suggest is to be present more. Be present more. There's something special about this church family. I have been a part of some churches during some amazing times. We saw some times that just give me goosebumps to think about at Friendship. When I was in college, the church was part of growing like crazy and amazing things, seeing God do amazing things. And I'm not just saying this, I mean it. I firmly believe that we are in that sort of time here in our church. I think there are some just amazing things happening in our church family. You know, too many times people look at going to church as a chore. You know, they said they had a drug problem. Their mama drug them to church, you know, stuff like that. You know, can I tell you this morning, it was no chore for me to be here today. You know, I was excited. I'm ready to be here. I didn't want to wake up, but I was excited to be here. Can I tell you this? And like I say, I'm not trying to meddle, but if you enjoy this morning, you ought to come on Wednesday. You ought to come back Wednesday night. You ought to come a little earlier for Sunday school. I guarantee you're seriously missing out if you're not here for Sunday school. And those of you that have been a part of that, you understand what I'm saying. My dad does a great job in here. You know, we've got the monthly meetings talked about for men and the ladies, and we got so much going on. Be a part. Be here. I talk to folks that go to different churches, and I'm going to tell you, they get to talking. Sometimes I wonder, why do you even go? You don't like it. I used to work with a guy when I was in college, and I worked at Sears Auto Center, and there's a guy, he hated his job. Oh, he hated it. Oh, the boss hated him. Just wasn't fair. And I looked at him one day, I said, Thomas, why do you even work here? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, if this made me this miserable, I'd find someplace else to work. I hear folks talk about their church, and boy, this isn't right, this isn't right. I'm like, why do you even go? I'll tell you something, I don't have that problem around here. Man, I'm excited. And I don't know why you would not want to be here every time the doors are open. Come up here and have a seat and watch Ryan vacuum. You know, just, I'm going to tell you, there's great things going on here. Jump in, be a part of things. Be here. It will be a blessing to you. The second resolution I offer is to be involved more. Be involved more. Most churches today, frankly, run their people into the ground. And I'm being honest, I'll tell you this. I was told in Bible college that the average length, and this was, you know, 25 years ago, a long time ago, but they said that the average length someone stays active in church is only about 2 years. And I was told, while you've got them for those 2 years, work them. Work them to death while you got them there, before they burn out. I'm like, you know why they're staying only 2 years? Because you're burning them out. You're working them too hard. No wonder they're gone so soon. By the way, we do not, we will not pressure people like that here. We're not like that here. We're not a machine. We're a church. We're a family. In fact, I was thinking about this. I won't call a name or anything like this, but there's one person in here, I can tell you, and I don't know if they remember or not, but I actually had a conversation like, man, you got a lot on your plate. You probably ought to back off a few things here and simplify a little bit. I don't want to burn people out. Except for Gary. He's not allowed to quit being treasurer. But he's the only person that's really, really stuck. But listen, I'm not into just, not everybody out here is, you're not an employee, you're a family member. That's who you are. And, you know, just like, you know, at Christmas time is watching as all family gets together and y'all had the big, you know, if y'all had the big crazy meals like we did, you know what I saw is like people just, hey, what needs to be done? Let me fix that. Let me do that. And all of a sudden you look up, somebody's in there washing dishes. You know what? Just things get done. You know, we are a family, but as in every family, there are chores, there's duties, there are needs. And by the way, I'm going to tell you honestly, I don't do a lot of trying to buttonhole people and try to get people to do things. But I know this, the Holy Spirit will put you where you need to be. The Holy Spirit will open the door, will give you the heart, will give you the desire, and put you where you need to be and give you an opportunity to serve. So be present more, be involved more. And third one, if you're still with me here, give more. Give more. And this is where I've said a long time ago, if you want to kill a Baptist, you don't shoot for their heart, you don't shoot for their head, you shoot for their pocketbook. That's the death blow for a Baptist. But folks, God has been good to us. There's not a single pastor I know, and I'm not exaggerating there, that wouldn't trade their financial situation with our church. God has been so good to us, and I think we have been very good stewards of that blessing. We put a lot of that to work. I mean, even the building fund, we've got an annuity that I still need to transfer over some of that money off of there, but we're skimming the top off of that for missions. We're putting it to work. We're trying to make the most of with what we've got. And can I tell you, when I'm talking about this, when I'm talking about giving more, I'll be honest, I would love, it'd be nice to have a little bit more money to spend in the regular budget. That'd be great. God takes care of us. I'm going to challenge you, though, here. If there's any place I'd challenge you to give more, it's not to give it to the church. Put missions on that envelope. Put missions on there. Let's get rid of the money. Let's send it out. Let's put it to work. I mean, this year, once all said and done, once Gary gets the figures all done, I think we're going to be over 90,000, somewhere in that range, kind of what the rough numbers. I don't think we quite hit 100,000, but we're going to be pretty close. You realize how remarkable that is? And we've done that consistently for the last few years. We've hit that 100,000 a couple times. I tell church people at church, they're like, how many people you run? You run a couple? No. We run 40, 50, 60 on a really good day. And they're like, you must got rich. No, we ain't got rich people. I'll tell you what, we got people who love the Lord. And I'll tell you something, God does great things. If God's going to bless the church, it's going to be a church that's generous. And a church that invests in the work of the gospel and the work of doing good around the world. I told you, missions, I want more missionaries. More missionaries, more places. I want to support 100 missionaries. I want us to have that $100,000 every year. And then when we hit all that, let's just double it. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep sending the money out. Can I tell you, there is no greater investment you can make than supporting the work of the gospel. And by the way, the money comes into missions, goes to missions. It doesn't go anywhere else. That goes to the work. You're supporting people preaching the gospel in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, supporting some great local things right here, WARM. The Pregnancy Resource Center. We've got some fantastic things we're a part of and we partner with. And I'm going to tell you, You can put your money in the stock market. You might get something, but I'm going to tell you something. You get to heaven, God is going to pay for that. God's going to reward you for that investment you give in the work of missions. Still with me after went for money there. Fourth, just being simple here, pray more. Resolve to pray more. I guarantee there's not a single person in this room that could not use improvement in their prayer life. I think if we all take stock, we'd all say, boy, I wish I'd had a little bit more time. I wish I was more organized, maybe more consistent. Maybe just need a fire lit in us so it's not just something we do, but something that's alive, that we're a part of, that burns within us. And by the way, of anything I'm talking about this morning, I would say this is the greatest need. If you want to see God do mighty things, it's here. In fact, I would say this. If we are to see God do anything, we must do our part in prayer. We must do our part in prayer. And the last thing I want to mention here, she's happy, it's the last point, is study more. Study more. I was up here and trying to put all this stuff together yesterday, and I got so many little projects and things I'm working on. In fact, no one has noticed something I did in here yet. And I've lost her by now. Everybody's going to be looking around trying to figure out what it is. Something I did the other day. No one has said anything about it yet. But got all these projects and things working on. And I was thinking about the new year. And I thought, you know, one thing I felt like I wanted to challenge everybody with was, if you've never done it, if you have done it, keep it going. But this year, let's read our Bibles through in the year. Let's read our Bibles through in the year. On average, it takes about 3 chapters. Say it's 10 or 15 minutes a day. But I want to challenge everyone here, including myself, because I'm going to tell you something, it's not something I'm good at, because I'm usually chasing something specific. I'm not good at just starting in Genesis, reading all the way to Revelation. But I want to do it. And I want to challenge everyone in here to do that same thing. By the way, there's many great books. There's many great devotionals out there. You don't want a good book to read. I can recommend quite a few. But there is nothing compared to digging in to God's Word, to getting straight to the source, to the light, to the truth. So that's my challenge to you this year. And I've got something I'm going to try to do with that, and this was something I had an idea for yesterday, and just to let you know, working this out right now, but I'm planning on putting together a daily email that will go along with a Bible reading plan, and my plan is to send every day, like, the first day, Genesis 1 through 3, chapters 1, 2, and 3, to send, hey, here's what we're reading, and here's some notes. Here's what it's about. I want to help. I think often about the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip came to him, and he's sitting there reading the scroll. He's reading Isaiah 53, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch replies and said, how can I unless some man guide me? So I've got this idea for a project, and I'm going to try to do this. And I'll tell you how you can sign up for it and stuff like that. But I've got this idea. I want to try to do this as a help, just something to help guide so you can kind of see and get a little bit more as you're going through a daily Bible reading schedule, just some thoughts and notes and different things. So I'm getting that together. I started kind of piecing it together. I found a system to do that. So if you would like to be a part of that, I've got the information. I can tell you about it when you email it out or whatever. But I'm getting that put together. And so I got thinking, I was like, this is crazy. It's going to be a lot of work. And I thought, you know what? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. If we can dig deeper into the Bible and help understand what we're reading, I think it's going to be well worth the investment. So Anyway, let's wrap this up here this morning. I want to go back to our text in closing. How can we make a change for the better in the new year? How can we resolve to be a better Christian, to do these very basic things? How can we make it? First off, we need to make it priority. That's that plan, that part. It's something in our hearts. We have to purpose to go through with it, make plans to do it. Second off, we need to rely on God. By the way, do you honestly think He does not want you to do a little more in serving Him? And God looked down and said, you know what? No, sorry. I've spent enough time with you today. I'm done with you for today. Well, you probably had some relatives you were like that with this Christmas. Like, I wish they would just, but you think God doesn't want to spend time with you? You think God wouldn't want to see you grow spiritually? You think God is absolutely for us growing in His grace? God earnestly desires these things and will help us to do them. Third, press on. Press on. The Bible reading thing I know is hard because you miss a day. Oh my goodness, I got to go back. And then you hit the genealogies and you hit the, all the different sacrifices in Leviticus and all that. And I know, boy, it bogs down. Sometimes you get sick and, boy, I'm out of my mind for a few days, and get off. Can I tell you, just press on. Pick it back up. Keep going. By the way, God does not work through our perfection. God works through our faithfulness. Get that? God does not work through our perfection. He works through our faithfulness. Us getting up and keeping going. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It doesn't say a just man never falls. It says, no, when he falls, he gets back up and he keeps going. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul right here said, He said unto me, and this is the words of Christ, they were in a red letter Bible, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we can't do it, God delights in stepping in and helping us. So musicians come, I'm just about done here. Let's just see what God can do for each of us this coming year. Let's keep pressing forward. Let's try to do a little bit more. Let's try to give a little bit more. Let's try to spend a little bit more time in prayer in our Bibles. Let's look back and say, I am more like Christ at the end of the year than I was before. I'm closer to Him at the end of the year than I was before. That's my challenge to you. And like I say, there's very simple things here just recommending to you. But I hope we can all, as a church family, as we begin this new year, let's walk together, and let's all draw a little closer to the Lord. And by the way, like I said, as we close, I'm telling you, I'm being nice. You don't have to do this right now. I'm giving you a few days. You can think about it. You can plan about it. Okay, but can I tell you one last thing? There is something you cannot put off, and that is salvation. If you do not know Christ, don't put that off till Thursday. Now's the time to find Christ. Now's the time to find salvation. So if you're listening online or if you're here this morning, you do not know that your sins are forgiven. Do not know that heaven is your home. Don't wait to get that settled. Get that settled today. Grab me, grab Ryan, grab somebody, and we can show you how you can know for sure. You can know for 100% sure that you are a child of God. If you'll stand, we'll have a time of the invitation. Number there, Olin? 307 in the Baptist hymnal if you want to sing along with the invitation song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this wonderful church family. I thank You for the great things we have seen You do. Lord, as we press forward, I don't want to just grow roots and be stuck in one place. I want us to be advancing and growing and just drawing ever closer to You. Lord, as we begin this new year, I think it is a great time. And I pray You press upon it in our hearts to be resolved, to make a decision, to do some things, to step out, to do a little bit more. Not to impress You, but because we love You, because of Your love for us. Let's draw closer to You. Let's be more like You. Let's spend a little bit more time with You. Lord, as we come together a year from now, I pray that we're looking back and we're just excited about the progress we've made, excited about the growth we have seen in our hearts and our lives and in our church. Lord, and if there's one who doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, the most important thing in the world, pray that they would find you. It's not worth putting off, but they would find salvation in you. But I pray that you challenge our hearts and our minds. So we begin this new year, wrapping up this year, beginning the next. Just pray, Lord, that you help us be resolved to do a little bit more for you. Challenge us in this invitation time, I pray in thy holy name. Amen.